know, this fascinating Gemara Daf Yud Aleph from Aleph Maseches Chulin. We saw that we left off last time with the beginning of this Gemara. And the Gemara points out that there are two different types of rov. There's Ruba de Issa Kaman, there's Ruba de Leisa Kaman. There's a rov of the closed set, where I have all the items in front of me, and I can directly determine most of these stores are kosher. Most of these dayanim say chayiv, say pater, and so on and so forth, as opposed to a ruba de leisa kaman, rov, which is she'eno lefanenu, meaning a statistical statement. And it may apply to all people in the world, or it may apply to a certain category of people, but what I'm extrapolating. I say, look, I know here I'm dealing with a person who's 11 years old and has the following characteristics. Well, of all the 11-year-olds in the world with fine characteristics, you know, 75% of them end up X. So 75% of them have the following status. So I'm extrapolating from what I know about, where I can, statistical statements that I can make about people in general, or this category of people in general, this category of items in general, to this case. The Gemara says, that's not so pashut. It's pashut that Ruba de Issa Kaman works. We have a pasuk aharav lahatos, but it does not follow, therefore the Ruba de Issa Kaman works also. Just because the pasuk tells Ruba de Issa Kaman works, maybe Ruba de Issa Kaman works, and Ruba de Issa Kaman does not. Maybe we have a robe in front of me, a closed set robe, that works. But who says that we halacha values statistics? Who says the halacha values Ruba de Issa Kaman? So the Gemara goes on a hunt to find a parsha in Chumash, unlike Ruba Acharam Lahatos is a direct statement, Rove works by Bezin. But here we're looking for an implication. As we had the Chazaka de Meikara, right? It must be that the way it's working, if the Torah says I pronounce the neg on outside, it must be that I can use Chazaka de Meikara. That's what we're going to start looking for now. A case in Chumash where it must be that we're lying on a rope. So the first example is about a carbon ola. What's unique about a carbon ola, as opposed to all the other animal carbonos, is that almost the entire animal is burnt on the mizbeach. Every other carbon, you burn a minimal part, called the emurim. Some of the organs, some of the fat, but the meat, the muscle, is all eaten. And any other carbon but an ola, the meat is eaten by either the Kohanim or other people, or some combination thereof. So normally you're just bringing up a couple of pieces, a couple of organs, some fat, they go on the bonfire on top of his back. The carbon ola, it's the entire, practically entire animal, not the skin. You mafshit, you skin it, but the inside of the animal is all going on the mizbeach. So now what do? You take the whole animal and just toss it on? So the Chumash says no, there's hefshet, Vini tuach. After you skin it, you have to do ni tuach. You have to cut it into pieces. That's the pasuk that's going here, folks. Vini tacho solin sachel. You cannot burn the animal whole. You have to cut it into chunks. But on the other hand, you're in the drasha. We could have just said vini tacho sol. Vini tacho solin sachel. If you're fighting, you have no pots. Means you're only kind of to a certain degree. Below the sahel and suffering. You can't do a second round of subcutting. You have to cut into big chunks. You don't burn the ola whole, but on the other hand, you also don't burn the ola in little pieces. You burn the ola in big chunks. You learn, and we learn Mishnah's Yuma to prepare for the upcoming Yom Tov. You'll come across a list of how you're minateach an animal. Mishnahs go through it. You can't do a full dissection. Okay, that's a din. That's a din daraisa. Why is that significant? Because Rashi tells us there's another din daraisa. Rashi at the end of Dir Maskal Asya. Rashi says that the Gemara Menachas Darshans Min Habakar indicates not all cows are eligible for an ola. Specifically, if an animal is a trefa, it's not kosher for a karba. What is a trefa? A trefa is an animal that got a proper shita. It didn't die because of its wounds or anything like that. but it has some sort of internal, some sort of anatomical defect. That most of the trephus are either there's a hole in some organ or missing a part of the organ, or part of the organ is cut or split or excess, some anatomical, something strange about the anatomy of this animal, such that it would likely not live out the year. So if it has that sort of problem, the most common one that you maybe heard of is a hole in the lungs, but there's the Mishnah in the beginning of the third paragraph of Kulin have a whole list of this type of wound to the lung, this type of wound to the heart, this type of wound to the esophagus, the trachea, here and there, a hole here, a split there, particular types of defects or wounds to the anatomy of the animal render it a trachea. It's still alive, it's walking around, it's eating, it's breathing, it's alive. If you shecht it, to give it a proper shita, it's not a nevela. Nevela is an animal which died without proper shita, an animal which died of illness or of an accident or a shot. That's a nevela. This is not a nevela. It died with a shita, but it's a trefa. So both nevela and trefa, from a kashrus perspective, in terms of human beings eating it, both are allowed to eat. The difference is nevela is also tamei, while trefa, if they had proper shita, is not tamei. Then the Gemara says in Menachos, not only is a trefa forbidden for a human being to eat, for a Jew to eat, it's also disqualified to be brought as a carbon. Right? That's what Rashi calls the end of Asya. Min ha-bakar, he calls Menachos Heimaveiz, min ha-bakar, Shein Tamad Lomar, why do you have to repeat the term min ha-bakar? Lahotzi es ha-trefa tells you that an animal which is a trefa is not kosher for a carbon ola. Okay. But here's the problem. Here the rub is, how does the Torah demand two contradictory things? On one hand, You tell me I cannot bring a trefa as a carbon, and on the other hand, you don't let me check. Some of the trefas are obvious, but some of them are not obvious. Specifically, Gemara gives the example: Nechash Shabanika of Krum Shalmoach. Here's one of the more unusual, obscure instances of a trefa. It doesn't happen very often, but it could. And the Krum Shalmoach is the casing inside the skull around the brain, in between the skull, which is bone, and the brain, there's another, I believe it's cartilage, krum shalmoach. In English, it's called a dura, D-U-R-A. So if there's a hole in the krum shalmoach, if it's punctured, the animal's a trefa. It's not dead now, but it's probably not going to last more than a couple of months. There's a reason why you have multiple layers of protection for your brain, because your brain needs it. So nikav krum shalmoach is a trefa. The problem is, how am I going to know? If it's a problem of the heart and the lungs, so when we do the nituach, so that you could see, that's available. But the krum shalmoach is inside the skull. There's no way to get to it unless you're really doing a very, very thorough dissection. How would we know whether it's nikav or not? I have no way of knowing. How can the Torah tell me it can't be a trefa, but you also can't check? What do you want? So apparently, there's a way for me to know without looking. There's knowledge without direct observation. That's what you see from here. That's what we call rove. Right? I didn't actually check this particular one, but I checked many others. We've shechted thousands of animals, tens of millions of animals. And we know all the animals that were not carbonos, we had the right. From a kashrus perspective, since we accept rove, we don't need to check for all the trefos. But in theory, that's not a makor for rove. You could imagine, maybe the Torah said, you got to check for every single trefa. Well, might say you don't, because we have rove. They couldn't have proven rove. Ola proves rove. But what we're using, the fact that we have all these non-carbon animals that we have dissected over the years, and we know that the chance of nikav krum shalmoach, it's a very slim chance. It's a very low incidence. 1 out of 100, 2 out of 100, 1 out of 1,000, whatever the numbers are. It's clear the overwhelming row of animals do that again. Animals that on the outside look decent and normal, the overwhelming percentage of animals that on the outside look fine don't have nikav krum shalmoach, and don't have something unusual going on in their intestines. And so all these sort of obscure trefas, the majority of animals are not trefas. So this is the mucker, because how can the Torah tell me it can't be a trefa if I can't look? It must be, that means use rove. Yeah, question.
Why Why is this not chazaka? Because originally it didn't have this problem.
How do you know? Maybe it was born with a problem. Yeah, it's a very sharp question. No, man, it's an incredibly sharp question. We're not up to it yet. Tosas actually asked a question, but not here. Tosas asked a question later on the Amud. We're going to get back to it. Very sharp. But at this point, he says, well, Chazaka, I knew it wasn't a trefa. I don't know, maybe it was born a trefa. So Tosas is going to come to your question with a twist, and we're going to come back to Tosas later on. So the Gemara says, maybe this is a right, maybe this is not a right. Maybe it is a way to check inside the skull without actually cracking in half. I could crack it a little bit. Maybe if the skull isn't fully fused yet, and I sort of open it a little bit and then stick my hand in. And it's very unusual. The Gemara is trying to say, obviously, it's not what people typically do, but you don't have hechreya. I can't prove that you're using rov. Maybe the Torah meant you have to, if you're being carbonola, you have to do this sort of funny check of the brain. Well, Maisa, we don't, because we do have a principle of rov. But at this point, we're still trying to prove it. Then the Gemara says, yeah, Wahaba Karm Pesach. Karm Pesach, you're not allowed to break the bones. Right? There's no option, well, I'll break the bones a little bit, it's Karm Pesach. Now I'll break the bones at all. The Gemara says, well, maybe some other way of opening the skull without breaking the bones. And the Gemara goes through a lot of options. The Gemara says, later on the Amud, the Gemara says, how about a paraduma? Paraduma, you're actually supposed to burn whole. A paraduma is not a carbon. It's carbon-like. It has certain qualities of carbon. You actually shecht it on harazesim. That's on the Beis HaMikdash. Just to give you a sense, as you're walking down, how many people here have ever been to the Kotel in your lives? So as you're walking down, if you've gone the typical way, you don't always have to go the typical way. If you're going the typical way, coming down those steps, from you came down Tveris Yisrael, you cross Mizgavah Dach, where the lions are, and you're going down. You're going down those steps along the side, right? And you see up in front of you is the western side of Har Habayis, the Kotel. Beyond over there is Har HaZeisim, which now has a Jewish cemetery. Rahman al-Islam, the Arabs built, or the Jordanians built a hotel on top. That's beyond Har HaBayis from that perspective. Because if you're on Har HaZeisim and you're looking at Har HaBayis, you're looking straight in. The west is the backside of the Har HaBayis. The east is the front side. So you would shech the paraduma over there on Har HaZeisim, facing, that's the Pesukim say Parashas Lukas, facing Pesach HaOmod. Okay? It has to be burned, then you burn it whole. You have a fire, a specific din, and what else you put in the fire in addition to the paraduma, you pour the paraduma whole. As it goes to the bottom Yud Aleph from it all. Asimi Rabba Bar of Shela says, Asimi paraduma. Amar Achman, the Torah says, "V'shachat v'sara." You shecht it and you burn it whole. Mashvi tasa kishi shleima. Obviously, when you shecht it, it's a whole animal. Until you shecht it, it's one piece. So when you burn it, also it's otherwise whole. Afsrei tasa kishi shleima. Maybe it's a treifa. Lechesh dima treifa. You can't open it up at all. Who knows what's going on in the heart and the lungs and the brain everywhere? Elamai. Elolai. Mishnarin zilbas aruba. Okay, and then the Gemara goes on to give other suggestions as well. But that's the flavor, most if not all, of the rayas have to do with trefa. Trefa by an ola, trefa by a pesach, trefa by a paraduma, trefa by a people. And you know, from a base, the Gemara talks about how do you ever convict anyone for murder? Maybe the victim was already a trefa. Okay. So that's the flavor of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, Yud Aleph Amud Beis, a series of riots. Again, where it's clear that the Chumash is assuming that you're relying on Rov, because we're asking you to avoid a trefa, even though you don't have the opportunity to do a full examination. So how could that be? Obviously, I can know things without seeing them. I can know things based on seeing analogs elsewhere. That's what we call Ruba Delesa Kama. Okay. And as Noam already alluded to, We're going to be coming back to this Amud as well. But for now, let's turn our attention to Kiddush Nafeh, unless there are questions. Questions, yeah.
Let's say there was a reason that you would no longer be able to rely on Rome. Let's say an exhibit sign that's correlated to having a hole in that inner shell. Would you then be able to...
Okay. So writer says, 1 second, let's say you have a cow and it sustained an injury to the head. You come to Yerushalayim to buy an animal for a carbon, and you look into the sheep, and one of them has like a dent, right? Or has a terrible wound on its head. Oh, so then you might not have a, in other words, that's what I was saying before. Whenever you have a Ruby Glaze to come on, it's looking at all the data that you have. So if it's just a normal looking sheep, I say, well, you know, X percent of normal looking sheep have a Nika Kum Shamah and the rest don't. Yeah, but if whatever I write, no, I don't know if it's on an inside, but I can see it has something, a funny wound on its head. Then I have to ask, but what percentage of sheep that look like they're on the outside are you getting through Shabbat? At a certain point, it could be no longer a row. That's then everything changes.
Then what would
happen?
Could you then cut it off
in that section? Well, then you probably wouldn't
want
to use
it
as a carb.
I wouldn't buy it. So is there a way to, let's say,
don't buy that sheep.
Don't use it for a carb. Either sell it to the non-Jewish market, or shaft it for personal use, and you'll open up the head, and if you decide that there's no trade for it, and if you need it, if it is, then you have to sell it to the non-Jewish market. You'll take a loss.
Does that animal need to
be? Wouldn't want to bring it. If there's no robe that's not a trade for it, you cannot bring that down. Correct. Questions?
What if the majority of animals are treated?
Yeah.
What if the majority of animals are traceable?
If the majority of animals, if you live in a place. I know it's a challenge to maintain focus or face on the challenge. We have to be out there over this time. Not that all your friends, but they focus. So, Pesach Teshuvah actually discusses that. It comes up in an interesting way. Pesach Teshuvah discusses what do you do if you live in a country where most animals are treeables. Now, what do you do? You'll shaft the animal, you'll check. If it's a treeable, you won't eat it. The question is, you can know a practical application of the fact that robe animals are in treifa is that you're allowed to drink milk and eat cheese. Because if you know that an animal is a trefa, not only you're not allowed to eat its meat, you're not allowed to drink its milk either. So how do you ever drink the milk of any cow? The answer is because rove cows are in trefas. If you live, this is a point that if you live in a country where rove cows are by examination, most of the cows that we shecht we're selling to the non-kosher market, then you may have to think twice about whether or not you're allowed to drink the milk. You have to figure out, are those really treifas mikra adin, or those treifas l'chumra? But if you have a situation where most animals are actually treifos, because they have, maybe. Or because they have...
They're all coming from the toxic waste.
Or a less dramatic and more likely situation where they have low-grade barbed wire and the barbs separate very easily from the wire. So you may end up in a situation where many of the cows are ingesting barbs and cutting their esophagus. That actually happens, sadly. So be that as it may, yes. If they do, so then apparently they're not rove treifos. That will come back to. That one will come back to. Okay, so let's bring it back in. So we have rove, we have chazaka, and we have a makor. We begin to appreciate the makor for rove. The begin to appreciate the makor for rov. There's more to that sugya. At the end of the sugya, maybe we'll come back to later on. But for now, let's take a look at how rov and chazaka interact. And did everyone see the Gemara in Kiddushin?
Yeah.
Show of hands, who saw the Gemara in Kiddushin? Okay, some did, some did not. Depends on whether you... Right, very good, very good. Let's take a look at the one together. Let's take a look at this together. The Gemara smack in the middle of Pei Amud Aleph in Maseches Kiddushin quotes a Mishnah in Maseches, telling the side Maseches Taharos. That's not a mistake. There is a Seder called Taharos, but also one of the 12 Maseches in Seder Taharos is Maseches Taharos. Maseches Taharos picked up in the third parak. Yeah, the Mishnah, the case we discussed last week, last year. This non Tino Chinim Tzibatara Iso Batek Biyado. You find the little kid, you find the young child next to the bowl of dough. He has a little bit of dough in his hands. And Rashi Tosis debate which is the piece we're not sure about. Are we not sure whether he touched the dough or just sort of found the bowl of dough on the floor? Or we know his tummy, or maybe we know they touched the dough. We're not sure whether he had previously touched the dead sherets. But either way, Rove indicates that he touched the dough. Rove indicates that he, like any healthy young child, wanted to play with a dead mouse on the floor. And therefore, hold on. So what's the din? Rabbi Meir Matarachon Matamin. Rabbi Meir says the dough is fine. Tar remains tar. Chama says it's tamin. Mepnei she darba shotin tapech. Because it's typical of little kids to want to touch everything. Otherwise known as a rove. The Havinamba. So the Amoraim were debating this word, we're trying to work on this Mishnah, my time is your mayor. Chachamim gave a reason for their Shita. So how do a mayor thinks that most little kids don't like to touch things? That's clearly most little kids do like to touch things. They're not arguing over what the rove is. So what's the debate? So obviously the mayor agrees that there's a rove. So why does he ignore the rove and say it's still Tahar? Kasavar, the Gemara says, the mayor holds rove tinokos metapachin, but me and metapachin. Most kids touch stuff, but some kids don't. It's only a minority, but there are a myriad of kids that don't like to touch everything. The isa becheskas tar omedes, and meanwhile the dough is becheskas tar. The chazaka de meikara, we know that the dough 20 minutes ago before we left the room was tar. Then we leave the room and come back in, we find the kid and the mouse and the whole situation. So the question is it still tar or did it become tummy? The chazaka tells me the dough is still tar. The rove tells me it's tummy, but there's a miut that would indicate not tummy, right? 20% chance that the child didn't touch everything. So smoch miuta la chazaka. The Gemara explains to Meir that you put the miut together with the chazaka israele ruba, and that weakens the rove. So that's the shita of Rabbi Meir. Put the miut together with the chazaka, that takes the defangs the rove. Now the rove can't really do anything. How about the chachamim? Rav Rabbanon, miuta kamanda leisadami. The miut is as though it doesn't exist, and therefore ruba chazaka, ruba adam. Rove versus chazaka, rove wins. So a couple of things interesting about this Gemara. For starters, very, very like a visual metaphors. You put the miyad next to the chazaka that knocks out the rove. What does it mean? You put the miyad next to the chazaka that knocks out the rove. I don't understand. This is a miyad the way you put the two together that knocks out the rove. And what does the chacham mean when they say, miyuta kamanda leise dami? It means as though it doesn't exist. What, they think that it doesn't exist? It's not a machlokes and metzias. They all agree that whatever it is, let's say, imagine for a purpose of illustration, 90% of kids love to touch everything, and 10% of kids of that age don't. If not everyone agrees that there's a rove and there's a miut. So what's with put the miut with the chazaka? Oh no, the miut doesn't exist, you can't put it next to the chazaka. What does this all mean? That's A. And B, well, let's put that aside for now. The Gemara is giving a lot of svaras that we'll need, that will require us to return to it with more sophistication. But for now, let's just focus on the din. The Gemara said a din, according to the Chachamim, Ruba Chazaka, Ruba Adif. So Rov versus Chazaka, Rov wins, Chazaka loses. Who's on top of the totem pole? Who's the stronger of the two? Rov. Right. That's what you think, until... Right, it looks like Rov won, Chazaka zero. Right, thank you. Until you turn. Ay. Two prokim later, Maseches Taharas. A Mishnah which gets quoted in several places, quoted in Ksubas Daf Chavzai, quoted in Psachim Daf Yud. This is the famous Mishnah of Shnei Shvilin, the two pathways. Let's see this Mishnah, then we'll come back to take question because we are out of time. Ah, as you want to point out. That's right. So Mishnah tomorrow, we will start with this Mishnah of Shnei Shvilin.